Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And that's how we start here.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, that's right. 247-7282 if you want to call in. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, right. Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
What are we talking about today?
Well, today, Ben, you know, we're getting close to the end of that year.
That's right.
So, you know, what we've talked about a lot in the last few weeks is a little transfer tax planning.
Mm-hmm.
So we've dealt mainly with estate and gift taxes. And of course, we've mentioned that you have that $15,000 annual exclusion, which means that you can gift anyone up to $15,000. And it's tax-free.
I still haven't received your gift, by the way. Still waiting.
So tax-free, and you don't have to file a gift tax return in order to claim it. So, and it's a use it or lose it thing.
Okay.
You know, you can't carry over an annual exclusion to the next year. So, you know, gift tax planning is pretty good. If you've got a gift that you're planning on giving that's greater than $15,000, well, do $15,000 before the end of the year, and then you got $15,000 more next year to give without having to, you know, file that return or pay any tax.
But that's post-tax dollars. I mean, you can't do that. It's pre-tax dollars. That would be nice.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, one of the big things is income tax planning as well towards the end of the year. So, you know, a lot of clients are asking, well, is there anything I can do to try to save on some taxes, you know, for when I file my 2019 tax return? You know, and one of the quick and easy things you can do is contribute to your retirement account. You know, you've got $6,000 per year you can give to a Roth or traditional IRA.
Right.
If you're 50 or over, increased amount.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 401k up to $19,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all that money that you put in there is going to come off of your gross income. So if you're looking to try to reduce that the amount of your gross income, a good way to do it is to actually make contributions to your retirement plans. And bear in mind, the good thing about this is we're not bound by that December 31st deadline.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all the way up until the filing deadline of April 15th. So even if you're a big time procrastinator and you don't quite get it done before the end of the year, all is not lost. So this is one of those, even though we're all calendar year taxpayers as individuals, this is one that actually does carry over some benefits that you can use even into 2020.
And are there catch-up provisions on the IRA if you haven't contributed enough over the years, or something you can do with that when you're over a certain age?
Yeah, definitely. Over a certain age definitely bumps up. When you're 50 or over, the contribution limits do increase, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good way to catch up a little bit on maybe those contributions
previous
you didn't make.
That's
right. So most time it's about $6,000 extra you can do, if you're 50 or over. One of the big things we had, you know, at last tax filing season with the new Tax Cut and Jobs Act is people got a little surprised relative to their tax refunds. You know, a lot of individuals were anticipating either the same refund they got or, you know, something similar because they knew that it was a tax cut.
Right.
Well, one of the things that happened is that the government spread those benefits out over the year. So you got a little bit more take-home pay, but those refunds were a little bit smaller. Now, I think that's a good thing. You know, I'm all for not making a interest-free loan to the government. So I do like the fact that you get more in your take-home pay, more in your paycheck, versus getting that big refund. But, you know, a lot of people were surprised, and they use those refunds for certain things, you know, to buy certain items or anything. So if you do, you know, if that's a good way for you to – quote unquote, make that a savings account is the kind of the way I
your
look
Christmas
at it.
Christmas club. Remember the old Christmas clubs? That was part of it.
I used to do that. And I knew what you're saying, Andrew. Yeah. I love that you said that. Why give the government the free money?
That's
but,
right.
You know, some people depend on it every year of that couple grand coming back as a tax refund.
If it's in that paycheck, you can spend it.
Yeah.
If the government's holding it back and you get that refund,
that's
then
right.
at least it's being held somewhere, you know, for you to use for another day. But right, it's interest free. So that's the only bad thing about it. But certainly, you know, if you're one of those people who are disappointed in your refund or depends on that refund and it keeps you from spending that money, then certainly there's tax withholding calculators that are out there, and maybe you want to revise your withholding status. We want to do this, especially at the beginning of a new tax year. If anything's changed, I had a child this past year, you know, I want to revisit my
That's
withholding.
Right.
You know, Maybe you've gotten divorced. Maybe something else has happened. Any kind of lifestyle changes, you always want to revisit your withholding. But especially given the new tax laws and the flux of refunds, definitely a good time to maybe take a look at that as well at the end of the tax year.
And the way the standard deduction is now, for most people, they're not likely that they need to have extra money taken out like they used to.
That's right. And good segue there, Ben, because the next thing is standard deduction or itemized deduction. And we've talked about how the Tax Cut and Jobs Act has bumped up the standard deduction. It's $12,200 for an individual, $24,400 for married filing jointly. So what that did was we used to have about 30% of taxpayers itemized. We're down to about 10% of taxpayers that itemized, because not only did the standard deduction increase, but a lot of the deductions went away or were capped, such as the state and local tax, you know, deduction that's capped at $10,000. So, you know, one of the things that we talk about is planning. You know, we can always try to cycle years. So 1 year, maybe we try to make more charitable contributions, pay the property tax double in that particular year, assuming we don't go over the $10,000. You know, try to lump all of these deductions into 1 year where you itemize in that one particular year, and then the next year you take the standard deduction. So there's a good way to try to bunch deductions into one tax year, and maybe that's something you want to consider, but you got to do it one way or the other. Either you got to put off paying that property tax bill till January, do it by January 5th so you get no interest, or you pay it, you know, pay it double if you already paid it in this year and you want to try to itemize this year, make sure you get it paid by the 31st.
Do you, if you've already paid your property tax for this year, can you guess what it might be the next year, and they'll hold that money, or they'll pay it, they'll credit your account? Or?
Well, the good news is that your bills are going to come out in August.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, you can always make sure you get that payment made, you know, if you're going to try to bunch that deduction and pay it double in 1 year. So not a bad way to try to, you know, itemize your deductions. But, you know, the good news is with tax preparation software, you can always play around with the numbers too. I mean, you know, make sure and see if it's going to work for you, to see if you could try to itemize 1 year and standard, use a standard the next year.
The standard rule of thumb I've always found is if you walk into a tax office at the county building and have a check in hand, they'll take it.
They'll take it. I think that's true.
Yeah, they're not going to turn it down.
Yeah, I'm like, we'll put that away for, we'll scroll that away for next year.
That's right. Stick it under the drawer.
Another one is year-end tax loss harvesting. So this is a good one to, for our listeners to hear, because you can look at those investment accounts and maybe see if you got a dog out there that you want to get rid of, because, you know, you can take your long-term capital loss up to your long-term capital gains plus $3,000. So if you don't have any long-term capital gains for this particular year because you haven't sold anything, you can go ahead and try to take, you know, sell assets that have up to $3,000 of loss, because you can take that off of your ordinary income, your wages. So this is a very good deal for taxpayers, because you do get to use $3,000 of long-term capital loss against ordinary income. So look for that, you know, look for that and see if that's something, if you see something in there, you go, man, I meant to sell that stock. That thing's not doing anything.
Right. As long as it's not in an IRA.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to, no IRA stuff. But if it's just a standard brokerage account, you know, take advantage of that rule so you can offset $3,000 of ordinary income. Flex spending accounts. This is a big one. This is one that my wife actually came to me a few weeks ago and said, hey, by the way, we've got $1,400 left on our flex spending account.
Yeah, how much Advil can you buy?
And so there we are, looking up on Amazon to see what products, you know, qualify for to be able to bought with the flex spending account.
You got some new glasses, and you didn't need any.
That's right. So, yeah, by the way, if you want an eye doctor appointment right now,
difficult
one to get.
Yeah, one.
We've learned that one the hard way. And I'm seeing the dentist today. So, yeah, you know, we're working on trying to get this spent down. But the bottom line is with these flex spending accounts, you can put up to $2,700 in there every year. Some plans allow you to have a 2.5 month grace period. So some will allow you to carry over and make sure you get that money spent down by March 15th of the next tax year.
Some plans, not all.
Some plans. Yeah. The one at Carolina East does not.
Yeah.
Then there's a $500 carryover for some plans. So you can make sure you get that spent down to less than $500. If you don't have either one of those, and you don't use the money by the end of the year,
it's gone.
It goes poof.
Yeah.
And it's gone. So, you know, one of the big things, if you're, I'm hoping this maybe alarm bells going off in some of our listeners' ears, because, you know, you hate to just lose that, even though that was tax-free money that you got to be able to put over there in that account.
Right.
If it goes poof, you lost the benefit.
Also, not all flex plans are calendar year.
Yeah,
some of
true.
Them end, like ours, I think, was November 15th.
Yeah.
So they're different ones.
That's correct. And it's more important to know all those rules.
I've been caught by that a couple times.
Because you don't want anything bad to happen and lose money that you've worked so hard for. Final thing for today, required minimum distribution. So if you're over 70 and a half, you have this retirement plan, we all know you got to take your required minimum distribution. Tax Cut and Jobs Act, though, Ben, did not do away with allowing you to assign that required minimum distribution to a 501c3 charity. So this is a good one, because we've talked about how a lot of taxpayers are no longer itemizing their deductions. However, you can assign that required minimum distribution to a charity, and guess what? It's not income for you. You do not have to put it into income. You don't get a deduction for it. But if you're not, you know, if you weren't going to itemize your deductions, who really cares anyways? The fact is, you just lowered your income by that required minimum distribution amount that you would have had to put in your income but for this rule.
Now, if it gained during the period that was in your account, do you have to pay anything on that gain?
As long as you assign it to a charity, no.
No. Wow.
No.
Okay.
So it's a great benefit for individuals, especially given the fact the standard deduction is so high. You know, really look at this from if you don't need that RMD and you're like, hey, I'd like to do something with this money.
You're going to give to your church anyway.
That's right.
Right.
There you go. So why not go ahead and use the RMD to do that and avoid it having to go into your income?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. All right. Again, if you want to find out more about your life and taxes and make sure they're both in order, and you want to give the folks at Harvell & Collins a call, talk to Andrew Foster. You can also email Andrew, afoster@harvellandcollins.com. Call for that appointment, 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City.